Hey everyone, it's Cam Hurt, host of the Best Show Ever podcast, and we have got a second season coming out very soon that I am very excited about. We've got some very cool special guests, including musical acts that we all love, like Karina Reichman, Daniel Donato, Jake Brownstein from Eggy, Rick and Peter from Goose, and many more. Tune in for new episodes dropping on Osiris Media March 5th on the Best Show Ever podcast.
Osiris.
Welcome to Wheels Off, a show about the messy reality of the creative life. I'm Rhett Miller.
That's when it got wheels off. We started up and we ain't gonna stop. Us, I like it or not. That's when it got wheels off.
Dan and Claudia Zanes have a new record out called Let Love Be Your Guide. It's not a family album, as it were, which is the sort of the workaround way of not saying kids music when you talk about Dan Zane's work since his rock and roll first iteration in the 80s with the Del Fuegos. He was in a kick-ass Americana band that imploded in 89. And then in the early aughts, he became someone that I saw a lot on the television when my kids were little as a family music artist or kids artist. The most recent chapter in his life is as part of Dan and Claudia Zanes. They're not just a married couple, they are a musical couple as well. Let Love Be Your Guide is a really beautiful record. It deals with a lot of issues, which makes it maybe sound like, oh no, this is going to be, you know, some sort of pedantic, boring, square record. It's none of those things. It's fun. It's super fun and beautiful and uplifting. I say all of this during the course of the interview as well, but I'm really blown away by what they've done. And I really think they're great. They made it easy for me to interview them as a couple, something I was concerned about, but I'm so glad to have them on Wheels Off. Please welcome Dan and Claudia Zanes. Welcome to Wheels Off, Dan and Claudia Zanes. Thank you guys so much for joining me.
Thank you for having us. Glad to be here.
Thank you, Rhett. What a treat.
Oh, man. Well, I really love the new record. I find it so beautiful and uplifting and inspiring, and I'm excited to get to talk to you guys. And I think that that record and the promotion thereof might be the answer to this question, but I wonder, what creative project are you guys working on right now, and how does it light you up?
Wow. Well, you know, it's funny because we're in the midst of sending out emails to friends and colleagues for the, you know, the Grammy for your consideration. It feels so uncreative. So this question is bringing us back into what it is that we love to talk about. So thank you. We're starting to, you know, we've been having fun making videos for our records. So we're thinking about the next video, maybe stop motion or something. We've been pulling all our neighbors into the process. So the four videos that we've made so far are done with one at my mother's farm and the others with our neighbors here in Baltimore. And Claudia is always making soap.
Yeah. So I am a soap maker. That has been, I just believe in just creativity with voice, with hands, whatever we can be making. And soap is very fun, spiritual, moving. We need it. So I love making soap. That's what I do.
My God, I love that. It's the mediums, right? They're all different, but it's all creation.
Right.
It's funny. I think about this a lot. Like when you make something and then you're forced to try and get it out into the world. And this new record you've made, certainly it deserves to be heard. It's so beautiful. But yet you guys have to reach out to people. What category is it that you're hoping to be included? Because I know that's where we're at in the process, right? It's the decision of the category.
Yeah, they submitted it for children's music, which is, you know, it feels weird. It feels weird because we always think of it as all ages music, and it's not particular to the experience of children. But that's where we typically would be ending up. So, but you know, but on the other hand, it's good that people are having conversations about stuff with children. And these are new times, man. So, you know, everybody's at the table together talking about everything.
Right.
I would agree 100% that it's an all ages record. But now that you say it, how cool would that be for this to be recognized as a children's record? And then all of a sudden, all these parents are playing this record for their kids. That would be great.
Yes.
And so 4-year-olds are saying, what are reparations? Right. What's that song about?
Great conversation starters.
Oh, just for the edification of our listeners, could you describe sort of what's behind the new album and where what it's about?
Yeah, so the record is called Let Love Be Your Guide, and it is out on Smithsonian Folkways. We're super excited to have that label behind us. And it's a bunch of songs that Dan and I wrote during 2020. So one of the first things we did when we entered into the declared state of emergency, once the pandemic hit, we started something called the Social Isolation Song Series, where we were putting out a song on social media, one video a day, connecting with our people, you know, a way of staying connected. And so we thought the pandemic would last maybe 3 weeks, maybe a month. So we were like, we got this. We can do this every day for that long. And then, of course, it went on and on. 200 days later, we put, you know, the button on the cap there. We said, we're done with this. And then we started thinking about a record, because during this time, too, as we know, the pandemic, of course, hit. But there was also sort of, you know, there was a racial pandemic that was also happening. There was just a lot happening in our nation that we needed to speak on, sing on. And oftentimes we couldn't find the right songs to say what we wanted to say. So we did a lot of songwriting, and we decided that many of these songs should be on this new record we were going to do. So that's kind of how they landed there.
So it came out in that, but we were clear we didn't want to make a record that was about the pandemic mm-hmm. era, because, you know, I don't know how many people really want to go back and relive that through music, art, whatever. Mm-hmm. But the themes were themes for any time.
Right.
It's great. It's almost as if you shone a light on, or you are shining a light on, things that got overshadowed by the pandemic in a way. Not overshadowed, but the, like, maybe we weren't able to focus on what was really happening in the country in terms of the, you know, protesting and mm-hmm. hopefully forward progress with regards to racial justice, just because everybody was so freaked out and locked down.
Right. And in a way, I feel like that was the gift of the pandemic as well, because we were all home and we were all paying attention, and conversations were being had. Young folks had questions. Folks had to answer these questions. We're all seeing it in real time. So there was just a heightened level of awareness, even though this stuff has been happening for so long. I think there was just a lot more focus and attention in this particular moment.
Yeah.
I feel like part of what it, because when we were thinking about how we could describe it to people, and, you know, it feels like, oh man, if you bring up, it's like, you know, racial justice, and, you know, these are themes and they're important themes to talk about, but I don't know if those are the themes that necessarily, I don't want to say they're box office poison, but I don't know if they really, that's not what would get me to go and listen to a record, you know, but I think what we're talking about really is freedom and community, and what our, you know, what community looks like. Oh man, I'm sorry. Let me.
That's
turn
the modern world. Yeah, no. While you're getting that, I'll echo that. In listening to the album, it doesn't feel like I'm reading an op-ed piece. It doesn't feel like it's preachy in any way. I mean, it really feels, if anything, first of all, super fun and really like beautiful songs. But it's really just uplifting. That's how I experienced it.
Oh, I love that.
Thank you. It was uplifting for us to make it and to say these things and to feel like we could be a part of a bigger conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's funny. I've done now about 100 of these Wheels Off conversations about creativity. And that's one thing that comes up over and over again, right? Is that the act of creation is sort of, you know, a declaration in the face of nihilism or whatever. It's like, it's shouting, we are here. This is something beautiful I'm making in the face of despair, perhaps.
Right.
I wonder for you guys when, and this is, I guess, something that I hope you'll both maybe take turns answering, but when you were starting out, maybe Claudia, if you'll go first, because I guess I know a little more about Dan, having been a fan of his since he was a very young man, Miguel Fuegos. I wonder, when you were starting out, was there a time when you were drawn to music specifically? And was there a moment that you knew that this is what you were going to do with your life?
You know, I would say from a very early age, music has played such a pivotal and important role in my life. My family is from Haiti, the first Black Republic, right? So music is such a huge part of the culture. And so when my parents came to this country, my brother and I were born here, music was played constantly in the house. And also just hearing stories from my grandparents, from my aunties and uncles, just a lot of the challenges they faced and how music was sort of the bedrock. I just knew how mobilizing music can be, how it can galvanize people from a very early age, also singing in church and maybe not having the language to really fully understand what was happening, but just seeing how people from different walks of life could come together. But in praise and worship, come to this heightened spiritual place. I just knew that the music was sort of driving that. And in church too, the music was always what spoke to me. So I would say from a very, very early age, I knew the power of music and started pursuing a career in school. I was studying, you know, I played trombone, I played flute, I sang in the choir. And then eventually I joined a performing arts group in Southern California where we would tour to schools, keeping music programs in schools. And then again, I saw firsthand the power of music, how music can, again, you know, build self-confidence, can bring people from different walks of life together. And music has truly been my passport. That's how I've had the opportunity to travel and play with other musicians from different parts of the world. So, yeah, I knew from a very, very early age that this was the career path I was meant to be on.
Well, that's so cool. You reminding me of my own experience as a young person singing in choirs, what a feeling that was of being a part of a larger organism and the feeling of collaboration. And it's so cool to see you guys as a couple, like doing this collaboration together. That's so sweet. I love it. I really feel like that's, it's just such a, like an object lesson in what art is. Like we make a thing and here we are together.
Yeah. Mm.
That's so sweet. And Dan, your journey has been in kind of an interesting one, from rock and roll to kids.
Yeah. And I always preface it by saying, I feel so grateful to be alive, you know, considering all of that. And, I met Claudia 5 years ago and I realized the day that I met her that, she was the person that I'd been dreaming about my whole life, you know, that we could be together in life and love and make music. And, you know, like the Ian and Sylvia records I used to hear as a kid in Canada. And so, you know, so for me, that's just been, it's an indication that, you know, the second half of my life, cause I wasn't going to live to be 30, you know, the way I was going, you know, That's what that was like. And then I did, you know, and then I found this way to making family music. I remember, you know, I was hanging out with people who were also, you know, trying not to drink and drug all day, every day, you know, and I heard this guy say, yeah, I'm trying to be of service in my work. And I thought, how do you do that, man? You're an actor, you know? And I just figured if you're in the arts yourself, you're as self-centered as I was, you know? But it stayed with me. It's like, how can you be of service and then still make music, you know? And family music kind of revealed itself to me. It was God's plan. It was certainly not mine, because mine was way more ego driven than that. But, you know, but God had a better plan for me. And so, you know, what a blessing it's been for, you know, 20 years almost to be able to make this all ages music. And then 5 years ago to meet Claudia, you know, just unbelievable twists and turns. And then to be able to make at this stage of the game, you know, just the like for the first time, really say everything that was on my heart, you know, in a record. What a, because there was always, always compartmentalized. You know, you can say this, but you hold this back because you don't even know how to say that. And we got to do it all. But.
And we feel it's truly a blessing. I mean, to be able to create music with your partner is, I can't put it into words. It's highly spiritual, deeply emotional. It's a way of getting to know your partner in a way that you, coffee wouldn't have done it. Going to the movie doesn't do it. And conversation doesn't even do it. It's about being in that creative process that just brings you so much closer together.
Well, that comes through on the album for sure.
Thank you.
Yeah, we sang together on the day that we met. Yep. Claudia's friend, Pauline Jean, brought her over so we could just hang out and sing a few tunes. So you know how it is. You see a person, you see deeper inside a person when you're making music with them.
Right.
Oh, God, that's so beautiful. That's really sweet. You know, it's funny too. God, I'm feeling, it's weird. I'm having an emotional response to this thing, Dan, where I'm sitting in my daughter's room and my kids are 15 and 18 now. So the years when they were, you know, watching the little kids TV show was the early years for you being like all over it between every commercial break. And so, and it's, which was already funny for me because I knew Del Fuego's and I knew rock and roll you. And then there, my little kids were watching you and here I am. It's like full circle. And now my son will be 18 this month. And anyway, it's just, it's really beautiful. I guess what I'm saying is I love what it says about longevity and perseverance. And it's very sweet. And to see you guys now having come together, you know, like into our lives and here you are, you know, discovering each other and making this really beautiful new thing out of nowhere. I love that. Thank you. So I wonder, obviously, you guys have found such a creative way through the last couple of years. I wonder throughout your creative lives, if you could speak a little bit to when internally generated obstacles come up, and you kind of brought this up a little bit now, Dan, when you run up against self-doubt, imposter syndrome, the, like you were talking about, the really self-destructive impulses, when you run up against those internally generated obstacles, what have you guys figured out as a way to get through them, beyond them?
Wow, that's a really great question. I will say that I couldn't do what I do if I didn't have my faith. I am deeply spiritual. I have such a direct line to God. I communicate pretty regularly, I would say, throughout the day. I'm always asking for God's strength. But also, I think one thing that I'm very clear about vocalizing is that I am on my path, praying for not someone else's blessing, but for what God has in store for me, because I think in a world of social media where we are pulled in so many directions and we can have the jealousy and the envy and it's all truly toxic and poisonous. And so consuming that, I kind of want to have the tunnel vision. So I pray, even like with the, you know, we're writing our FYCs and doing all the things for hopefully a nomination, you know, for a Grammy. And we're thinking, we've already won. Whether or not we get the Grammy is we've already won. And let's not lose sight of that blessing, because it's so easy to look at other things. I want this, I want that. But how have we been blessed already? The mere fact that Dan and I are together and we're able to create this music is already the winning ticket. So I would say that's it for me, is really just communicating and connecting with my higher power and just making sure that I'm on the right path. Not that those things don't creep in, but really trying to steer away from that as much as I can.
Nice.
Wow. Yeah. Claudia just said so much, and I'm in agreement with all of it. And I think, you know, I think some of the challenges that I've had over the, you know, over the years come from being, you know, some of it is just like the alcoholic thinking, you know, it's like, to be honest, that can get real tricky. But I think for me, keeping, you know, is the same thing, keeping the gratitude up high and recognizing always just how I've been blessed and just to be alive is unbelievable, you know, and to know that God's been looking out for me this whole time, and I think just to feel like we are here for something. You know, God's given us the gifts to do something with them. And so the challenge is to figure out what it is we're supposed to be doing on any given day. But, you know, the ego piece can get intense, and professional jealousy and all that stuff. I mean, that was when I was in the Del Fuegos, that was poison. And I drank it every single day and really robbed myself of an experience that everybody that I knew wanted to be doing what I was doing. And yet I couldn't appreciate it because I was looking at somebody else's blessings, thinking they were supposed to be mine. There's been a terrible mistake. I was supposed to be playing for that crowd. What happened? You know, insane stuff. And so just to, you know, to recognize that. And I think, you know, living in a capitalist society where there's just such a spirit of competition in the air, there's no neutrality. I think either I get washed up in that competitive atmosphere, or I push back and try and be community minded and spiritually minded and let God work through people and, you know, all of that. So that's, you know, that's kind of the answer, because these things are daily. You know, they really do come up, these challenges.
Have you been sober for a while?
Coming up on 32 years.
Woo!
Right?
I'm getting close to, I'm 6 and a half.
Oh, man. Wonderful. What a blessing that is.
It
man.
Really, it's funny. Before I got sober, when people would tell me that they were sober, I used to just think, oh, it's so sad. It must be so sad. That life you live, oh, depressing. And I'm like, God, you guys don't even know what you're missing.
I know, man. It's, no one could have described it to me in words that I could have understood. You know, I just thought, what, you can't party anymore? You can't have these good times that I think I'm having? Oh, man, that's beautiful, man. Congratulations. Yes. One day at a time. Here we are, alive.
So in a moment, I will ask you guys to distill some of this wisdom that you've been sharing. But first, we will go hear a word from our sponsors. And we're back. So Claudia, I'll ask you to start, if you don't mind. If you were to meet a 21-year-old version of yourself living in today's world, what advice do you think you might give yourself?
Oof. Wow. Ah, oh my. I think I would encourage myself to find a strong circle of Black women to be a part of. I the importance of finding community and support from my sisters. I would encourage my 21-year-old self to find that connection and community with my sisters.
Mm.
Do you think she would listen to you? I always wonder about that. Would our 21-year-old selves listen?
Right.
That seems like pretty good advice. That's hard to.
I think in this day and age, if we were in today, I think she would listen to that. Yeah.
Aww.
Find the support, find the love,
find
the acceptance. You are enough, all of that.
Love that.
Yeah.
What about you, Dan?
I think, I would be so inclined to tell my 21-year-old self to, you know, stop drinking and drugging, but I know I wouldn't listen.
Yeah.
but I think maybe one thing that I would be able to hear is to find anti-racism, you know, find it and make it a daily practice, you know, whatever that means. But as a white man in America, by the age of 21, I'd absorbed so many messages of you know, white entitlement and just superiority and all this damaging stuff, you know. And it took me, it wasn't until I was in my 30s that I started trying to unpack and rewire my thinking and get engaged in anti-racism. And it was the closest thing to getting sober that I could say, because it was really, I was able to have another shot at life where I could find my humanity, whereas otherwise it would have been impossible, you know, because I couldn't be comfortable in the world and I couldn't find a sense of usefulness and purpose. And so that's what I would tell my 21-year-old self. And I think I could find a way to do it that would get through.
Yeah. So this is only the second time I've been able to interview a couple who collaborates. And the first was a band called Ida May, a couple of British musicians who live in Nashville. And I regret that I didn't really ask them, but I'll ask you because you've got this unique perspective. What challenges do you encounter when it comes to the separation of creativity versus daily life, relationship life? And how do you feel like, what's important to remember to make that work?
I think what's been important for us is Claudia's gift. On the day that I met Claudia, when I heard her laugh and I heard her, she and her friend Pauline talking and laughing, just hysterical laughter, which they always do when they're together. And I just thought, what would life be like to hear this laugh every day? And that's been, I think, the biggest thing that's helped us get through has been humor and being able to laugh. And I take my cues from Claudia on that one because it's not where I go first, but I feel like I've been learning that from Claudia to stay loose and stay, you know, keep the humor up front.
Yeah, we do laugh a lot. Yeah, it's medicine. And it's a form of rebellion too, you know, claiming your laugh. You know, I would say, you know, and one of the lessons I feel like Dan teaches me on the daily, as simple as it sounds, is kindness. He leads with kindness and sees the good. I feel like I pretty much see the good in people and in situations, but Dan's way of approaching conflict, approaching challenges is in such a way of like love. Like I've seen him have to, I don't want to say discipline, but have to address things where people come out even respecting him even more after the whole situation takes place. So I'm always inspired by how his kind, he leads with compassion and kindness. And that's something that I just adore about him.
Hmm.
Yeah. I don't know if we answered your question, but.
Well, yeah, it's funny. So I guess what I get from that is that you guys, you find the things that complement each other and you lean into those. And I really love that. I think that's the perfect answer. And I mean, honestly, I think that could go for, you know, being in a band together or, you know, in any sort of creative collaboration, but you guys are making a collaboration work on a creative level and a romantic love daily life level. I love that. You guys are, I think y'all are such an inspiring, great example of the ways to make it through life and to make life meaningful. And I'm so glad I got to speak with you today.
Thank you so much. This is wonderful.
It's a real treat for us.
Well, thanks for being on Wheels Off. Take care, you guys.
You too.
Thanks so much, Rhett.
All right. Thank you so much for listening to Wheels Off. Please be sure to rate and review the show on iTunes. That helps us appear higher in the search results and lets other folks know that it's a cool podcast to listen to. Also, as the kids say, don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or anywhere else that you listen to shows like this so that you never miss an episode. This has been Wheels Off, and I'm Rhett Miller, encouraging you to create every day. Thanks, y'all.
Osiris.
Hey, music fans. We wanted to let you know about Music on the Mountain, a show that will feature Anders Osborne, Dogs in a Pile, and Saints and Liars. This show will be directly after the Divided Sky Foundation's fun run at 2 p.m. on Saturday, May 18th at the base of Akemo Mountain in Ludlow, Vermont. The show is presented by The Phoenix, a national nonprofit organization offering support to those in recovery and anyone impacted by substance use to celebrate recovery. If you're running in the Divided Sky Foundation's fund run, you'll be automatically registered for the show. It's a family-friendly event, and all proceeds from ticket sales and other donations benefit the Divided Sky Foundation. Visit Music on the Mountain, that's musiconthemtn.com, for more info and to get tickets. That's musiconthemtn.com. Hope you enjoy.